That's the new music. There it is. We say a fond farewell to skater music. Bye-bye, skater music. Skater music might return. But I tell you, I'm always a sucker for like the rock and roll, bluesy, rhythm and blues, electric guitar. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Hey, Gypsy, you know why that crap's been popular for about 80 years?
Because it's awesome.
That is correct. That's the answer. That was precisely because it's awesome. So we have to continue our love. There's nothing wrong with skater music. There's nothing wrong with our salute to the 80s and the 90s. There's nothing wrong with neon and glow sticks. But now we're getting back to our roots. We're getting in touch with me.
Yeah.
I'm in a great mood. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'm in a phenomenal mood.
Okay. What's putting you in such a great mood?
Everything. I love
Everything?
It when yes. I love it when I figure stuff out. I love it when we're ahead of the curve, which we always are. Boom, boom, pat on the back. I can see the big picture, and the big picture is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I love it when, whatever, there's so much to talk about. There's so much to talk about that I guess we should just jump right in. I hate it when like podcasts, when they start off with like, here's my recipe for spaghetti sauce. Nobody wants that.
No.
Nobody. So we're not going to do that. I hope you're in a good mood. Hey, and then I almost went off the rails. I was going to ask you a question completely off topic. We're going to start with politics, and then we're going to go to Hollywood. And we're going to go to video games and other stuff. But here's what I want to mention right off the top before we jump into politics. When you and I and our band of Merry Misfits started the Loftus Party many, many moons ago, we knew what we wanted to do. We didn't want it to be jerks. We wanted to have fun. We wanted to talk about politics and promote life, liberty, and the pursuit of some serious happiness. And then I thought, okay, so the website, we should definitely have some politics on there, but we should definitely do like Hollywood and video games. I would very, very much like some TNA. I'd like some sex stuff in there because who doesn't love sex? And I wanted to help people. That's what I wanted to do. Like if we could have a group of people. We all kind of get together and there's a podcast and there's videos and there's a website. And then, oh my gosh, we could have fundraisers and help people who need the money for very good reasons. So it's humbling and it's wonderful at the same time. And I'm disgusted at myself for being so happy to have this opportunity, but I'm extremely happy to have the opportunity. And I want all of our listeners and everybody who goes to the website and the YouTube channel and the Facebook page to jump in. There's a fan of the show. He's a great guy. He's from the state of Ohio, my home state. And he's been jumping in. He wants to help promote. He's a really good dude. Mark Abney. That's the guy's name. His wife's, he's got a,
his nephew,
nephew. Yeah. It's like, I think it's his wife's, maybe his whatever, but it's his nephew. And this this young man, tiny kid, like pretty new to the earth, has Down syndrome, was born with a cleft palate, pretty severe. And that's one of the other things. Ever since I started doing stand-up, I always did shows for Operation Smile.
Mm-hmm.
That's just doctors. It's not a terribly difficult procedure. They can do it and boom, you drastically improve someone's life. Okay, so this young man, little kid, he's new to planet Earth. He's got Down syndrome. He's got a pretty bad cleft palate. They've fixed that. Mm-hmm. The family has no insurance. And the poor guy has cataracts. So they can have the surgery to take care of the cataracts, and the kid gets to see, or they don't do the surgery, and the poor kid is pretty much blind. So this is what I want to do, and we'll have the link to the GoFundMe. We'll put it on the website. We'll put it on Facebook. I'll put it on Twitter. All of the above. A GoFundMe for Caleb. They need to raise like $3,500 for the cataract surgery. We can do this.
Oh, I'm going to
go ahead.
I said, I agree.
Yeah, we can listen. We'll call in favors. We'll spread the word, and we're going to get this done. It might sound hokey to everybody else, but we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. And it's going to be awesome. And we're going to help somebody see when life hands you this kind of stuff. And this is what I've always said. This is the other wonderful thing that has me so excited about this. I wasn't into Obamacare. I'm like, people will help out their fellow man. So this is about like not being a hypocrite. This is about, we can do this. We can take care of our own. So it's wonderful. We'll have the link up. It's contributions for Caleb on GoFundMe. It's Caleb with a C. So that's part of it. That's part of it. We're going to help this kid out. So that's going on. And then the other thing that's going on, that's our leads. It's not the lead story on the Sunday shows. It's not the lead story in the newspapers, but it's our lead story. It's the Supreme Court. It's the nomination process. It's a man by the name of Kavanaugh. Kung Fu Rick, can you hook a brother up? That's great. Gypsy, who did that? Who made that happen?
That is done by a pair of guys called the Third Rail Ramblers on Twitter. They are Polyfoam Pontiff and Two Senegal.
Okay. The Third Rail Ramblers. And they've given us, hopefully they gave us the rights to use that. I mean, it's parody, right? It's free use.
It's parody, and they're very good friends of the show, so it's fine.
Okay. Oh my God. Can you feel it? Can you feel it happening?
Oh my God. We have been given so many gifts this week going into the midterms that it's exciting.
Hold on. I can't get off of us. I can't. Listen, we got to put that song, a link to that song on the website. It's okay. Great. That's an awesome cover, and it's a very rare. It's like finding a diamond on the beach. It just fits like syllabically, phonically. Panama and Kavanaugh. It's wonderful. It's perfect. That was some sweet guitar playing. They got that Eddie Van Halen sound. That great screechy lead. Come on now. Come on. Hit me. Let's one more time. Kung Fu Rick. Ka-cha. Play button. Oh, Rick, I'm gonna listen, dude. At some point, I'm gonna ask you to snatch the pebble from my hand. And if you're not there, you gotta be right there. Watch out. Now that I'm gonna test you, I'm gonna test you. Later on in the show, you're going to be on pins and needles. I'm just going to be like, Kavanaugh, and I just want to hear the opening. Oh! Kung Fu Rick, he's got his shields up. He's got his shields up with the crickets. That's outrageous. I love it. See, you guys, I would totally listen to this show. Okay. So we're not gonna open with what the other shows opened with, but we will get to that. But I think the big headline is Kavanaugh, and don't do it. it's to me, I'm completely outraged. I'm completely outraged by Chuck Schumer organizing this disobedience, these demonstrations during the confirmation process. Like, to me, he should get in trouble. Like, you should be in trouble for that. You're like, you're disrupting. And it's not like if it was just a group of people, if it was just those the chicks with the coffee filter heads and the red the red capes.
Coffee filter heads.
That's all I can think of. It's like they're walking around in red capes and coffee filter heads. It's
I think they look like tortillas.
the Mrs. Coffee tortilla ladies. But yeah. If they decided to do it, because who are those other chicks that would always just disrupt stuff, like Pink Power or something, the pink ladies.
Code Pink, yes.
Code Pink, mm-hmm. Yeah. The one in the pink and one in the stink. That's why.
The thing that I came to understand was every person who stood up and disrupted that hearing got their invitation to be there from a sitting senator.
Yes.
Okay, but yeah. Can I tell you? I actually think it's a good thing.
Please help me out. Unpack your picnic basket.
We saw the crazy. Some sitting senator. You want to talk about a lightning rod? Okay, Kavanaugh's like a moderate Republican. You know
who? Who's like a moderate Republican?
Kavanaugh.
Kung Fu Rick. I might do it two more times, but I don't want to drive it. I'm just so excited. I'm like a kid with a toy. All right.
No, but he's a relatively mainstream political person as a judge. I mean, not extreme at all. But you know who is extreme?
Chuck Schumer.
Linda Sarsour, who got herself arrested on live TV. It was great.
Well, yes, that was fantastic. That's another wonderful enigma. That's a wonderful, like, I want to do like a, remember those old movies of the week on NBC and ABC? It's like tonight on the movie of the week. I want to do one on Linda Sarsour. That's to me like the biggest con job ever.
Oh,
it's like, hey, women, aren't we going to stand up for what we believe in? Women, come on. We need Sharia law. Record scratch. Like, really? Where if you're walking around and you get raped, then they kill you because you were raped. Is that what you're talking about? Standing up for women's rights there, Linda? She's a complete catch-22. I'm mad at Chuck Schumer for organizing this whole thing. I'm mad at any senator who doled out a pass to these people to do it. And talk about like shooting your wad. Like, it'd be one thing if this Kavanaugh dude was outrageous, but he's not.
He's been endorsed by judges and attorneys on both sides of the aisle. He's, the Supreme Court bar loves him. The American, Lawyers Association or whatever, the American Bar Association, ABA, has endorsed him.
Yeah.
His former students and colleagues across the political spectrum endorse him. Like, and almost every one of these sitting senators who's a Democrat voted to put him on the federal bench the first time.
That's
the ridiculous part.
And I love how they keep setting it. Kamala Harris was just straight up rude. I mean, maybe it plays to her base, but when you watch that, I'm not objective because I want the guy to get in. But like, damn, just dude, straight up rude. Like straight up rude.
If you're going to position something like that, you got to have the receipts. She didn't have the receipts.
Well, hey, speaking of receipts.
Like, she's like sitting there playing it. Like, I know you talked to somebody.
Yeah. And then shame on her. And this is a big, big beef with me. She asked Kavanaugh some kind of question about, hey, so tell me about this, that, and the other thing, and how they came to this conclusion. And he begins his response with they said that blah, 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 blah. And then what she did was she edited out the part where he said they said. Mm-hmm. So she's tweeting this out. It's getting a ton of retweets, but that is so completely
not
disingenuous. It's so
not what happened.
And I hated it. I hated it when, like, Madonna in the women's rights, the women's march was like, hey, I've thought about bombing the White House, but violence is never the solution. But what they did is they cut out the part where she said violence is never the solution, and they made it sound horrible. And it's like what they did to Donald Trump when he came down to announce. They edited out to make it sound like he just said Mexicans are all rapists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely disingenuous. It's a whole giant bogus narrative. Shame on Kamala Harris. I have some jokes about her, but they're all inappropriate for this show.
For a family show.
Yeah, but I tell you what, she is, oh my gosh. She used to be the DA in San Francisco?
She was, well, she was Willie Horton's mistress.
Willie Horton's mistress.
And yeah, she was a prosecutor, I think. I don't know that she was ever DA, but then she ended up, you know, as you know, attorney general for California, and was and is a nightmare.
I mean, she's just
a nightmare. She is so going to be the nominee.
I would not want to be on the other side of the table from her in a court of law. Because you know she went at dudes hard. She went, oh, she's got no problem with
lying.
Just completely lying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, there's, I tell you what, I guarantee there's some dudes in jail who do not like her. I don't want to get into a personal story, but man, when chicks like her, when they're up for re-election and they got to pad their numbers to make it look like they're tough on crime, you get caught doing some graffiti, buddy. You are doing hard time. Anyway, who's the other guy that I can't stand?
Cory Booker.
Oh, we'll get to him. We'll get to that doofus in a second. Who's the guy, the old man who said he was in Vietnam and completely lied about it? And he's like, we're out of order. We have to stop these. We have to stop these proceedings. That guy.
Not Dick Durbin, the other one.
That's too funny. I mean, yeah, that should be.
I can't.
That should be the end of
right
your.
Now.
Oh, I can see him. This big old skinny man.
Yeah.
He's like, we need to call the roll. We need to stop this. The dude lied about being in Vietnam. That's huge. That's huge. How does he still have a career? How do people still. Like, seriously, how do you take that guy seriously when he is a known liar?
They keep reelecting him.
They really do. It's unbelievable. If I was Trump, I wouldn't let up. I would just be like one that Elizabeth Warren is Pocahontas for all time. And this dude, I'd call him Platoon. But let's get to the sad fact. Spartacus can't read. Cory Booker can't read. That's the headline for me. He can't read. That drama queen. Oh. Evidently, because like, and this is how I wanted.
Both of these bomb emails were nothing. They were nothing.
If anything, they proved the point the other way.
Oh, I know.
That during the days after 9/11, when everybody was like, what should we do? This, that, and that our boy Kavanaugh was like, we got to have common level heads about this. We can't, we got to be careful about discrimination. If it went the other way. So that's where I say Cory Booker can't read because he got the emails the night before. He was told
they were cleared for publication. There was no drama. He was never breaking the Senate rules.
That's why I say Cory Booker can't read
because
obviously he can't. He got the emails. He looked at them. He pretended to look at them. He tried to sound out some words. He was told by another aide of his who can't read. This is good. This is good. I'd totally do your Spartacus thing tomorrow. Totally. But like choke back tears. Like I'm Cory Booker and his histrionics and his theatrics. I want him to run. To be thrown out now. And yes, I'm breaking the Senate rules. I'm breaking the rules. I don't. Okay. This is more important than the rules. This is the closest thing I have to a Spartacus moment.
I think it was
the closest thing he had to a Spartacus moment was in a bathhouse somewhere. It was the Spartacus from Stars.
No, but I think Cornyn actually called him out and said, we're not running for president right now. Or way to kick off your 2020 campaign. Like somebody literally called him out for doing that.
It is just funny. It's just funny. He's running for president right now. Kamala Harris is running for president right now. all kind. Then that's all that is.
Michael Avenatti is running for president right now because he actually said on Twitter after Kamala pulled her stunt, you know, you don't make allegations like that and not have anything to back it up. That I mean, he like basically threw Kamala Harris under the bus for like peacocking during the Senate hearings. It's the Democratic primary in 2020 is just going to be full of so many comedic opportunities. I can't wait.
It's just getting better and better every single day. Well, okay,
but who is going to vote in the midterms? Look at what happened this week and say, yeah, those are the people I want in power.
Well, it depends on the narrative. It depends on whether you are believing the narrative. And that is why I went out of my way to start this show with the GoFundMe. And mm-hmm. and what I think is most important to Americans is this dude on the Supreme Court. That's to me, that is the big and an organized demonstration, and a series of arrests and a series of point of order. And we should stop these hearings and let's all walk out, which was organized mm-hmm. by the Democratic Party. That is now you're messing with the process. Now you're messing. I really think that it has to be a question. Is this legal? Can you do this? That's to me. What Chuck Schumer and his douchey little friends did, the Kamala Harris and I Can't Read Cory Booker and Drama Queen Cory and all of them, and I Was in Vietnam, Dude. It's like it's a parade of losers. You're messing with the process. It's funny. They accuse, oh, to them, the most important thing is our institutions. How dare you question the Department of Justice and the FBI? These institutions. What about the Supreme Court? Now you're going out of your way. You're breaking the law. You are doing some highly questionable, unethical things. You are messing with the system, our system of government. They are completely guilty of what they've accused others. I could talk about this all day, but sadly, Kung Fu Rick, I think we have to close our segment on Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh. I love it. Kavanaugh.
So that one was our. Okay.
You know
so
who hit the.
Moving on.
Oh, I was just going to say, I had something else that made me very, very happy this week.
Okay, hold on. I'm getting a weird light off my Skype here. So I might sound a little robotic, but if you can still hear me,
Okay,
so what tickled your feathers? What had you going this week?
Did you see who they're putting out on the campaign trail?
We are so alike. That was going to be my next thing, too. My boyfriend's back and you're going to be in trouble. Hey, now. Obama's back.
Wherever he spoke, it was a 7,500-seat arena and about 700 people showed up.
Yes. Yes.
My God, are you still talking?
That's beautiful. What was that?
I think it was the sound effect.
That was my answer.
Play it again.
Anytime Obama talks, this is my response.
My God, are you still talking?
It's Hank Hill from King of the Hill.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Just told us how terrible we all are again. And I'm telling you, nothing will unite the warring factions on the right faster than Barack Obama talking.
Okay. I agree. I want to explore this. I want to talk smack about this. I have incredible insight. But right now, I have to blow my nose. It's insane. Yeah. Obama makes me weep.
Are you still talking?
Yeah. They must, I tell you, they must really, really, really be scared to trot out Obama, calling out Donald Trump by name.
And, oh, I know.
Some glorious What were your favorite fabrications? What were your favorite parts of his speeches?
Oh, where he said he was critical of Fox News, but he never did anything to the press.
I know.
What?
What?
Cheryl Atkinson had a great thread on it. God love Cheryl.
I bet she did. Yeah, you only weaponized the IRS against the Tea Party. You bugged James Rosen 20 surveillance. Yeah, yeah. And then he went out of his. He tried to get Fox banned from the White House. So that was rich. That was rich. And then my other favorite part was him saying, "Hey, let's remember when this guy starts talking about the economy's booming. Let's remember where this recovery started. Are you high? seriously, are you high right now? Like, was that your economic miracle? Was that your economic miracle where you're like, you know what? I'm gonna start this recovery right before I get into office." Because everybody forgets that. It started before he got sworn in, and then it just kind of limped along because he kept messing with it.
For eight years.
And then I'm gonna perfectly time it out, so I'm the first president in modern history that can't get above a 3 GDP. And then in 8 years, as soon as I leave, then if all goes according to plan, I'll look like a douche for 8 years. And then as soon as the next guy gets in, after about a year, things will take off. That's how highly crafted his economic policy was. And you got the dumb son of a bitch on tape going, Donald Trump says he's going to make all these jobs. How's he going to do this? Is he going to wave a magic wand? That's how out of it he was. That's how out of it Obama's policies were. He compared it to frickin' Harry Potter. It is in his mind, it was so unfixable. You needed a magic wand. You needed Dr. Strange. It's outrageous. It just goes to show you how clueless
the left is. And I just celebrate it. You just
say
needed
what?
He just needed to get out of the way. You know, if government had gotten out of the way, the economy would have recovered faster. But he just kept getting in the way.
And it's not the first time the Democrats have done it. They did it in the Great Depression. Listen, you guys, the policies of the left, they don't work.
Mm-mm.
They don't work. We're much better off. Go ahead.
These are the people that think socialism isn't bad. They're like embracing democratic socialism and then talking about, oh, remember where this recovery started? Yeah, the tax cut.
Oh my gosh. Getting rid of some of these regulations. And here's the other problem. To me, in a big thing, like everyone on the left, like they're all lawyers. They're all lawyers. Mm-hmm. No one's like run a business. That's the other great thing. Like, I don't think so. I don't think Trump is some super genius. I just think he's had a business where he's like, hey, we got to pour the concrete to get that foundation. And somebody's like, no, we can't. There's a regulation that says we can't do that unless we use spring water imported from the Italian Alps. And he's like, that's crazy. Well, it's da 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 da. And so you just get rid of, you just do some basic common sense crap. And it's amazing how I have more faith in the individuals of this country than I do have in the government.
Absolutely.
Here's the big story. Here's the big story I think no one saw. McCabe. You know they got a grand jury going on McCabe.
Oh, they do?
See, that's scary.
Yeah, no, I hadn't seen that.
That's that's one of the things that's been buried this week. Yeah, old Andy McCabe.
Oh, I hope he gets his pension. Donald Trump's being so mean to him. Why can't he have his pension?
Yeah, grand jury. Grand jury. That means they're bringing charges. This ain't no play date with Bobby Mueller. This is the real deal. This is Andy McCabe. The FBI's like, nope, we got to let you go. Yeah, so keep your eye on that. That's what I think they've been burying. That's one of the things they've been burying. Because, and then I'll clue you into this before we might segue into some other stuff. There's just so much news, you guys. There's just so much wonderful news. So I think a lot of this is the distraction from Andy McCabe.
Well, It was kind of a crazy.
But I did go ahead. Well, they don't want. They certainly. It's like the Eye of Sauron in Lord of the Rings. They don't want people talking about how Andy McCabe is legit in trouble. He's legitimate. Trump didn't fire. The FBI was like, this guy's got to go. There is some dirty pool going on in the FBI and the Department of Justice and all that stuff. And that's the other thing. That's the other crazy thing that like, you know, Trump gets mad at Jeff Sessions and everybody's like, well, you know what? The Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions, he's the attorney general. He does his own thing. He's not supposed to just do what the president wants. I kind of remember Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch just being like the official dogs of the Obama administration. That's all they did was protect the president and decisions he made. So hypocrisy, thy name is Democrat. Ba, ba, ba. Okay, so what did the media do this week? They didn't want to talk about Andy McCabe. They wanted to talk about how noble they were for the Kavanaugh, and they're really, really running with the palace intrigue narrative.
Oh, my God.
The palace intrigue narrative. It's all these people who are like, Trump's crazy. He's crazy. Look, the Watergate guy just wrote a book about it. Trump's crazy. And now there's the op-ed. Oh, my God. God in heaven, if I hear one more thing about this anonymous op-ed in the New York Times, I'm going to lose it. I'm just going to lose my mind.
We're going to find out it's the lead IT guy in the West Wing. I mean, I'm sorry. I cannot think of a cabinet member that would do that. That's just suicide, right? Because we're going to find out who wrote it.
You know what? I honestly, I think there's a very good chance that someone from the New York Times wrote it and they just have some source in the White House. It's the big picture of, because when you can't stand behind facts, you have to stand behind the emotion. Mm-hmm. So what the Democrats and what the mainstream media, they're going after Trump's character. They've called him a sexist and it didn't stick. They're calling him a racist and that's not sticking. His popularity among African Americans is way up. You got people like, Kanye West who are like, I like Trump. I'm a free thinker. Sorry. And so when sexist doesn't stick, and racist doesn't stick. Now they're going with he's pure on crazy. Now it's really weird. It's really weird. You're no dummy. I'm no dummy. And I can see this as plain as the nose on my face. They're obviously running with this narrative, but like everyone, all the pundits, it's like, oh, we got to talk about that. That was the lead. That was the lead on the Chris Wallace show. This morning. Are you kidding me? Like he's talking to Pence.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about this anonymous thing. And Trump's like, did he go too far in calling it treason? And I'm like, well, first of all, it's a non-discussion, but absolutely they should look into it as an act of treason. If the president's giving somebody a direct order and then they're going behind his back, ooh, don't do that. Don't do that. We don't want that. To me, that's treason. That's straight up treason. And that's what Watergate dude's book is saying, and that's what the anonymous op-ed thing is saying. So yeah, it is kind of treasonous. It's right there, borderline treasonous.
Well, you know, and here's my thing: if you really feel that strongly about it, sign your name. Sign your name. if it's really that bad, sign your name and tell the American people. That it's really that bad.
That goes to my point.
Yeah.
That goes to my point. It's not that bad. They just need the accusation floating out there. They just need the accusation. The guy's unhinged. He's crazy. I'm talking. And then you got Pocahontas going. Maybe it's time to invoke the 25th Amendment here. Obviously, the guy's unhinged.
Both houses is never going to happen. That would all.
And here's the other wonderful thing. I love it. I got to get this out. Okay. I got to get this out because to me, and I keep calling him Watergate guy. Who's the dude who wrote the book?
Woodward.
Or was it Bernstein? Woodward.
No, it was Woodward.
Okay. So what he says in his book, and this is just wonderful and too juicy to let go. So evidently, when Assad was gassing his own kids, the rumor has it that Trump said to General Mattis, let's kill the guy. Let's just kill him. And Mattis is like, oh, we can't do that. We can't do that, Mr. President. We'll come up with something else. And then Mattis like stole the order or something and they came up with another option. Okay. So that blows a huge hole in the Donald Trump is in Vladimir Putin's pocket. Because
yeah,
you know who?
Kind of.
Huge. Assad. Putin has to shore up Assad because that's where that Russian naval base is. That's mm-hmm. the only reason Russia wants to be there. They got their big naval base. So they've been here you go, Assad. Here's some more weapons. Here you go, Assad. Here's some Russian army dudes. They are. And Russia's paying a heavy price
mm-hmm.
in blood and gold just to stick around and shore Assad up. So if Trump was really in Putin's pocket, don't you think Putin would be a little mad if we killed Assad? I think it's to me that blows their whole narrative out of the water. And I like a president who says all options are on the table. How about we kill him? Okay, that's we could do that. We're not supposed to, but let's talk about other options. It's wonderful and it's glorious, and the palace intrigue of it all is just a yawn fest.
Here's my personal opinion. They're watching stitch by stitch as this entire Russian collusion thing falls apart, because for everybody that's been prosecuted or charged under Mueller, like Papadopoulos, he's going to spend 14 days in jail for lying about the timeline of his discussions. There was still no collusion.
We're circling back to that. Yeah, we're circling back to that. Keep going.
There's still no collusion. So as this thing wears on and I don't even know the right word, the horrific nature of what was going on inside the FBI at the time becomes more apparent, they have to hit with something else. So now they're going back to the Trump's crazy meme. They've done this before. They're just doing it again.
They have no options left.
No,
however, it's working. They're pushing their narrative. And when you expect, well, Chris Wallace, he's a smart guy. He's not going to fall for pushing their narrative, but then he does. And then Media Matters or Media Buzz, the other show that I watch, same thing. They're all like dumb goldfish swimming around, and I don't think they're dumb. So if they're not dumb, why are they going for this? Because here we go. Grand jury on Andy McCabe. Grand jury on a top official at the FBI. Holy smoke. And that's not newsworthy. That should have everyone concerned. That should have everyone concerned. And when Georgie Papadopoulos, that poor, and I tell you what, George Papadopoulos, and then who's the other guy? The other Trump volunteer who's
Carter Page.
Yeah. You never hear nothing about Carter Page, do you?
Not anymore.
No, you don't.
Nope.
Which tells me there's nothing there. There is nothing there. And then here's these sneaky little balls of crap. They get Papadopoulos on the whole perjury trap. Oh, you lied to the FBI. Well, evidently the judge or whoever doles out the sentence didn't think it was that bad. 14 days.
Yep.
For
basically
14 days.
Basically for being a dumb, ambitious kid. That's all he was doing. He was trying to be a bigwig, and he failed miserable.
Now, here we go, Gimlet. Here we go. We should actually – I'd love to have this up. We should actually have like the – what's the over-under? Because here's what they're doing. Here's the other wonderful narrative they have. Okay, so a bunch of people got in trouble for quote-unquote lying to the FBI. And then you got Whatcha's dude who was in charge of the campaign for a hot second – going to jail for filling out the wrong form and trying not to pay taxes back in like 1892.
Right.
But what they're doing is they're accumulating a list of 38 people have been indicted. Not one of those indictments has anything to do with Russia collusion. Not one of them. But now they're going to go see, because I'm thinking, why even send Papadopoulos to jail? It's two weeks? What is that going to do? Like, what crime do you need? That's like time out, for Christ's sake. It's a grown man. Just waive the sentence. Listen, either you're going to jail for a stretch or you're not. And evidently, what, 2 weeks? Sweet Lord in heaven. All they want, all they want is to have another notch on their belt of, oh, well, that there's another guy that went to jail. Look at that. He went to jail. Yeah, 14 days. It's a joke. That poor bastard. That poor. I honestly, my heart goes out to that guy. It really does.
Well, again, he was just being a dumb, ambitious kid. He's like, what, 23, yeah. 24?
I know. I saw his wife on Fox. She's kind of hot. So
missed that.
Well, you need to pay attention. I feel bad for the guy. I really do. 14 days. Are you kidding me? 14 days? What other crime? What? I've never heard of a sentence that short. Like, I know I've got buddies who've had, DUIs, and mm-hmm. they've done, like, 3 days. And I've had buddies who've had DUIs, and they've done 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, so seriously, like, meddling and trying to ruin our democracy and ruin our republic. If that's the case, this guy is the end of America. What's the sentence? 14 days. Are you kidding me? Seriously, you can have two beers. You can have two beers and drive down the street. You're looking at a month in jail. What is this? It's unbelievable. Okay, we gotta switch things out. We gotta get that link to Third Rail Ramblers on the website. We gotta get the link to the GoFundMe for Caleb on the website. You guys, we have to do that. The other stuff that I want to talk about, it's that's a stand up bit. I'm not going to do that. It's a big week for Hollywood and for sports. And the other thing, here's what I'm going to lean into more with the website, just like my personal passion, mm-hmm. just going for it. I was a big tennis guy. Played for high school, did well, got my verse, all that stuff. I love tennis. I'm not a big fan of the game now. It just moves too fast. However, the human body is catching up to these insane rackets. I'm all for a wooden racket league. So we had the U.S. Open, which was just a farce, a complete and total farce, and there are no winners. There are no winners. And it makes me sad for the culture of America. To me, it's one of the touchstones that something's very, very, very wrong. I got no problem with Serena Williams confronting the umpire. I love it. That's good for the game. If she feels that the ball was in and he said it was out, go after him, sister. I loved it when McEnroe did it. Tennis needs villains. It's just like pro wrestling. You need villains and you need heroes. So the judge who was calling the game, maybe he overreacted. And maybe he didn't like having her wagging a finger in his face. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's all good for the game. Listen, as a tennis player, I'm a big Serena Williams fan. I like Venus. It's all good. Then the crowd gets into it. Like, listen, whatever Serena's treatment was by this judge, right or wrong, if he overreacted or underreacted, all that stuff, don't boo. Like, Serena was not, she was not going to win that match.
No.
She was not going to win it. That one point, that one game didn't make a difference. She was getting her ass handed to her by Naomi Osaka. So as fans of the game, shame on everyone. I thought about this a long time. When that girl is getting her trophy and is announced the champion of the U.S. Open, and for people to boo?
Oh, that was disgusting.
I'm
and then to like
talk about, and the Democrats say this crap a lot. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. Listen, tennis fans, sports fans, that's not who we are. That was completely not cool.
20-year-old girl. plays the game of her life and beats the top women's tennis player in the Open era. There's only one person, Margaret Court. And if Serena had won this match, she would have been tied with Margaret Court for the all-time record for Grand Slams. But and then you have this 20-year-old girl, game of her life, who literally half apologizes for winning. What?
It was horrible.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible.
It was terrible. And you know what?
When I feel bad for her.
When McEnroe did it, he got smacked down. When Agassi did it, he got smacked down. You know, this is... The umpires do this in tennis, and then the first thing that she got called for was being coached from the sidelines, which is against the rules. And the coach said, yeah, I did it. Penalty earned.
Yes!
Penalty earned, folks. It's against
the rules.
And then she got two more. Then she got something else happened, and I can't recall what it was. And when she started wagging her finger, that was time number three. That is totally consistent. I was... You know, reading timelines of people who are tennis commentators and everything, totally consistent with the way every other tennis player has been handled. One, two, three, boom. And some of them have gotten ejected for doing that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people lose games. I've seen a lot of it. It's it's good. But Serena was like grasping at straws. Like, just because I'm a woman, I'm a mother. Like, whoa.
I did this. What? I did this for women's rights by making a girl cry, by making another woman feel like crap. Are you serious? This had.
But you know what? There was in Serena's defense when they did announce the winner, and poor Naomi Osaka kind of had her head down. Serena like put her arm around her. Like she realized. When she was on that podium, this did not go the way I planned.
Yeah, anyway, it's not a good look.
It's not a good look, but hey, it's good for tennis. I like tennis. The other big news, I've totally lost track of time. Kung Fu Rick, if you could shoot me a text and let me know how much time we have left. I'm going to write it when we're done here. I'm going to jump back on to my PlayStation and jump back into Spider-Man. I'm going to play that a little bit longer. Then I'm going to write my review. However, because you listen to the podcast, you're into – I'll state most of it here. You'll definitely want to go to the website and read the review. This game is awesome. This game is awesome. Spider-Man for the PS4. Holy crap. I am having so much fun. Just swinging around the city. First of all, it took me a couple minutes. It took me about like 2 or 3 minutes to start getting the web slinging and the flying around and the swinging around. Insane amounts of fun. Seriously. And the map is huge. And I'm telling you right now, Gypsy, it's Manhattan. It's Manhattan. It's like photorealistic. It's so much fun. And you know what else they got in there?
What?
The Avengers Tower. So you go
really?
Up. Yeah. The other night. So what do you do if you're the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man and you're in Manhattan, right? You go to the top of the Empire State Building. I'm looking around and it's like the whole thing. It's almost like the magic hour. You know, when the sun is just hitting just right and it's just setting or it's just rising. It's just beautiful, and they didn't cheap out on the design, because normally in the background it gets super fuzzy really fast.
Right.
This it looks, if you were in New York, it looks glorious. It just looks glorious. So you went by, I went and checked out. I tried to get in to the Avengers Tower, couldn't get in. They locked me out.
Why'd they do that?
I don't know. But my son was playing, and guess what he found?
He could get in.
he found where Doctor Strange lives.
Oh, nice!
It's there. I swear, I'm gonna go look for my friend's apartment. I'm like, I'm legit. Like, I'm not even doing the boss battles yet. I've been so distracted with the fun of being Spider-Man. I beat the Kingpin. He's like the first big boss, and he was tough. He was tough to beat because I was fighting like Batman. Like I'm on the ground, like duking it out with guys, and I keep getting beat. And I'm like, what in the heck is my problem? Then I remember, oh, duh, I'm Spider-Man. So I started climbing the walls. Oh,
I have a different superpower.
Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I'm not a stand here and punch guy. I'm a throw things from a distance Spider-Man. It's so much fun. And it's Insomniac Games. They in the olden days, they did a game that's very near and dear to my heart called Spyro, which was brilliant for back in the day. And they have knocked it out of the park. They have knocked it out of the park. And they have a wonderful photo mode. If you go on Twitter and just search up Spider-Man PS4 photo mode, you can pause the game at any moment. And you can move the camera around to whatever angle you want, whatever's in the background. You can add stickers, you know, to make it look like a comic book or the cover of a magazine or the daily. It's so – I'm not even playing the missions yet. I'm having so much fun. You know what else you can do? You can just walk around on the streets and people will approach you like fans of Spider-Man. Like, hey, can I get a selfie? And you pose for selfies with these guys. And like you can do finger guns, you know, like when somebody like Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3, when he was like had the Venom suit and he thought he was cool and he was like doing the double finger guns. You can do that. Like I'm not playing the game. I'm just going around New York. I'm literally like sightseeing and climbing buildings. Ooh, let's go to the Empire State Building. I'm such a tourist. It's a blast. It's so, and it's just gorgeous. It's so gorgeous. And I don't want to end on a bummer, but I just do want to recognize, and it just occurred to me as I was saying it, it's such a beautiful day in New York during this game. And it occurred to me that this will come out on Monday, and then Tuesday will be September 11th, which was another beautiful day in New York. But that's the kind of day it is in Spider-Man. It's kind of eerie. I literally just got the chills a little bit. I don't want to forget. I never, ever, and this is going to sound so hokey, I never want to forget that September 11th. And be vigilant, you guys. Be vigilant. Oh, and I want to give a special shout out to my buddy. I hope he listens to the show. Danny, who former NYPD guy, just a great dude, my good friend in New York. He lost a lot of good friends on that day and went to way too many funerals. Keep your eyes open, you guys. If you see a package, if you see something suspicious, keep that going. There's only so many cops. There's only so many cops. And in New York, they have a great like PSA. Like, if you see something, say something. That goes everywhere. That goes everywhere. Like, I think Trump and his administration have done a good job on the old ISIS smackdown. But they make their money by plotting and scheming. They make their money by people looking the other way. Okay, as time allows, I want to get this off my chest. This is another reason why I don't trust big institutions. This is another why, Facebook has too much power, Twitter has too much power. We need competition in these spaces. We need competition in these spaces. I don't know how to do it. I don't want the government to step in to break them up, but it has me. But here's a little story that I found out recently. One of the things that happened last week was the last official book, I believe, from the J.R.R. Tolkien estate came out. Now, Tolkien died in like 1973, and his son Christopher has been in charge of the estate. Tolkien had he did The Hobbit, he did Lord of the Rings, and he did The Silmarillion. And in The Silmarillion, there were also three like what he called great tales. And so a long time ago, Christopher Tolkien finished that up, released the first one, then years later, finished the second one. And then last week, the third one came out, which I tell you what, movie, Warner Brothers, New Line Cinema, all of them have to be like gnashing their teeth, wishing they could get a hold of these. So in case you don't know, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, just giant. It's one of the few books that I've read multiple times. So Amazon bought the rights from the Tolkien estate to do a prequel to like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. Now, it's not The Silmarillion, but it's a prequel. And they bought these rights for $250 million. I was outraged. I was so pissed. I'm like, this is hypocrisy at its finest, because J.R.R. Tolkien, when he wrote Lord of the Rings, he sold the film rights. back in 1960 something, because he's like, there's no way they can make this movie. It's too big of a movie. It's too big of a movie. Tolkien really believed in literature and books, and the movie should be in your brain. So he never saw computers coming, but his son towed the line with him. Christopher did. Christopher's like, yep, no more movie rights. No more movie rights. We're done. Lord of the Rings, Hobbit. My dad sold those movie rights. It was a big mistake. He shouldn't have done it. No more movies. So when Amazon bought the rights to this prequel thing for $250 million, I'm like, what a jerk. What a little liar Christopher Tolkien is. Well, last week, I found out what happened. Here's what happened. Christopher Tolkien is no spring chicken. He's 93 years old.
Oh.
So knowing that he was not long for this mortal coil, and soon he would be going to the Undying Lands to join Galadriel and the rest of the elves, he set up a foundation to watch over the literature.
Mm-hmm.
He set up a foundation and with all the best intentions, protect this piece of art, protect this creation, this masterpiece that no one has come close to ever since. It's the second best selling book in the history of our culture, second to the Bible. That's it. Whatever you guys do, protect this stuff. Well, they said yes. Okay, we will, we will, we will. Now, evidently, there was some kind of little clause or some kind of little time lapse or some little hole. So the ink wasn't even dry after this 93-year-old man signed the paper to protect his father's work, that these sons of bitches didn't throw him under the bus and go, ha-ha, we could sell this for $250 million. What absolute dicks. What absolute dickery. I hate it.
So
now, will I watch the show on Amazon? Go ahead.
Basically, they picked the wrong people.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They picked people. They picked human beings because people are greedy, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and people and nature will always find a way. Well, he said we couldn't do this, but he never said we couldn't do this. Like, oh, it just...
So what, is Amazon going to be a movie studio now? Or do they just turn around and sell the rights to the next highest bidder?
They bought this stuff for $250 million. I think they're probably going to make a miniseries. I think they're going to probably make a miniseries and see how it goes. Yeah, it'll be on Amazon Prime Video. It'll be like a Lord of the Rings or, not Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
but,
like I knew Netflix and Hulu,
Game of Thrones.
Hulu did original content. I haven't used Prime enough. I thought they just replayed other people's content.
No. They're jumping into the original series stuff. They got I think it's Amazon Prime has like a Jack Ryan thing now.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that.
That's supposed to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. So that was the show. And that was discouraging. Because here's the deal. I am a believer in the written word, and I think that like seeing it in your mind is more powerful than seeing it on screen. There's something final about, oh, you saw it on screen and that's it, and then you're done, and you never really go back and revisit it. But with a book, you can go back and revisit it again and again and again. I feel bad for Christopher Tolkien. He's not. I really thought he was the villain in this whole thing, and that maybe that's the good takeaway from this. Don't rush to judgment on all this crap, because I was like, that son of a bitch. Guy's 93. He's 93 and he was trying to protect the literature. How sad, how sad. Okay, so feel good, listeners, feel good. Wages are up 2.9%. Unemployment's down. Factory jobs are, they literally are, they're coming back. If government just gets out of the way, we're better than all this. So don't listen to the haters. Steer away from their narrative. Tune into shows like this where you can go, oh my gosh, Andy McCabe is up. There's grand jury. Yeah, there's other things going on. So other shows will lead you down their merry little path of BS, but we do our own thing. You guys, I want you to tell your friends about the show. The algorithm is real. The algorithm is real. Thanks for following us on Twitter. Thanks for being our friend on Facebook. And please tell your friends. Share the videos, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and most important, most important, go to the website. Everything's there. theloftusparty.com, the links to the GoFundMe page for Caleb. We're gonna get this kid his cataract surgery. We're gonna do it, you guys. It's not that hard. We are Legion. So I had a lot of fun this show. We'll probably have another interview next week. I like having guests. I like doing that. But some weeks it's just gonna be too big. So have a great week. Take a moment to reflect on September 11th. You guys, oh my God, oh, this is too much. I'm droning on and on. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. I will see you next week.